the American Dietetic Association, the American Society of Nutrition, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Massachusetts General Hospital, both part of the Harvard Medical System, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the National Institutes for Health and Clinical Excellence, the National Health Service, and also the, and these are just a few of the places, Institute of Health and Society at Newcastle University. And the reason why is because in virtually all circumstances, pregnancy is a voluntary process. And we can contrast that with a shotgun wedding that sometimes results. That's clearly less voluntary. The fact of the matter is that fat parents expose their kids and themselves to needless risks. And the idea is to have people achieve a quote-unquote normal weight, body mass index between 18.5 and 24.9, before they have kids. And in fact, the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence says specifically that women with a body mass index greater than 30 should be encouraged to lose weight before they become pregnant. And from Newcastle, clearly what they say, and these are quotes, what's key is that women should be helped to achieve a healthy weight before they become pregnant. Why? Because the kids and the moms are exposed to needless risk. And what are those risks? These are not insignificant things. For the fetus or embryo, birth defects, miscarriage, fetal and neonatal death, premature delivery, labor and delivery complications, delivery of large for gestational kids, which means that they're prone to certain types of injuries while they're being born. The mothers have more cesarean deliveries with higher rates of anesthetic and postoperative complications, higher infection rate, longer hospital stays, blood clots, hypertension, gestational diabetes, preeclampsia and eclampsia, bad conditions for people to have. And societally, there are huge increases in costs when the overweight and obese have kids. In fact, they're 5-fold to 16-fold greater than intended-sized human beings having kids.
So really, some of these C-sections that are going on with overweight people and or what they, you know, pregnancies that are failing or having a miscarriage isn't just the head not fitting through the pelvic bone. It actually has something to do with the fat content that this baby's exposed to.
Fat people have more C-sections than intended-sized human beings, whatever the reason. Not even, it's not critical. The fact is that that is the way that it is.
Well, I know that in the health insurance industry, many times if a lady has had miscarriages once, maybe twice, the next thing you know, they're wanting to have a lap band surgery or some other kind of weight loss surgery in order to get this under control. So evidently it is an awareness amongst heavy people that, you know, losing their child because of obesity is a great risk, not only for the child, but for their self also. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Applebaum?
I can't speak to what people realize or what people attribute the cause of their miscarriages or other problems. What we're dealing with over here are the statistical problems that occur that result in either maternal illness and death or fetal illness and or death. And in fact, obesity alone, just this past week and a half, an article came out in the journal Human Reproduction, obesity alone doubles the likelihood of fetal or infant death. That's irrespective of any other thing, just being fat. So these are problems. And when you deal with something that's elective, where people can actually choose when something happens to some degree, there is no reason why somebody can't lose the weight before they go ahead and get pregnant.
Well, I'm not even talking about fetal or neonatal deaths, doctor, but say they have the child. Some of this obesity can attribute to many birth defects, especially like neural tube defects and things like that. Explain some of that stuff that's going on after the child's born.
Well, these defects, when you talk about birth defects, you're really talking about things that are happening in utero in general, and then these kids are born with these problems. And there is an increased incidence of abnormalities in fetuses.
Such as?
Neural tube defects, as you had suggested. That's an excellent one. There's something called an omphalocele, which where the guts spill out of the belly button. There are heart defects that are issues. These are ugly situations that are avoidable. And if they're not 100% avoidable because problems still occur, whether you're fat or not, they are significantly lessened by having kids when you're at an intended weight for a human being. And these are the important things. The idea is to have healthy children. The idea is to have a healthy pregnancy. The idea is not to expose you or your children to increased risks. And that is why fat people should not reproduce. And if they choose to reproduce, then two things should happen. The first thing is they should be registered by the state for follow-up. And the second thing is that they should be charged more because they cost more to the system. And that is simply nothing more than showing what the risk is and charging accordingly. It's like a 17-year-old getting driver's insurance. They're going to pay more than a 45-year-old with a family because they pose an increased risk.
Or some of these clothing stores, you know, big and tall or whatever, from what I understand from people that are 300 pounds or 250 pounds and they're 6 foot something, they end up paying more for a suit or a shirt rather than a guy, say, our size.
Well, as they should, because it's more material. So the costs are greater. I mean, these are reasonable things to do. And actually, I happen to have noticed on your website, and this is a segue into an important topic, I believe, that you had a show, I guess, called In the Morning Zone.
Yes.
It's a typo, but Kids at Risk looks at issues of child abuse in Wyoming.
That was last Friday, yes, sir.
It is important for people to understand that these kids, fat kids, these are nutritionally abused children. They are exposed to the following risks: low self-esteem, hindered academic performance, hampered social functioning, high cholesterol levels, hypertension, high blood pressure, hypertension, abnormal glucose tolerance, asthma, fatty livers, sleep apnea, type 2 diabetes. If you look at your state's definition of child abuse, it's a physical injury, which means any harm to a child, including but not limited to disfigurement, impairment of any bodily organ. These kids, let's say with type 2 diabetes as a prototypical example, are kids with impaired body organs. These are abused kids according to the definition of your state. And your state has a requirement that all people who become aware of child abuse are supposed to report that to Child Protective Services.
Absolutely.
So physicians in your state who treat fat kids with type 2 diabetes or asthma, nurses who are involved in their treatment or know of it, teachers, principals, all those individuals who know of these problems in fat kids and know kids who have it and aren't doing their mandated by law duty by reporting these kids are contributing to and enabling child abuse in the state of Wyoming.
So would you say that, having said that, and I don't want to veer away from what you just said, I want to park it right there but add something to it. Some of these obese kids, Dr. Applebaum, from what I've noticed, is that I understand people are working two jobs nowadays and things like that. You know, I work and I still cook. Matter of fact, I got something on the stove right now. I think a lot of this is attributed to laziness on the part of the parent because it's easier to go to McDonald's, to go to some of these fast food joints or get these frozen meals and shove that down their kid's throat. You couple that with a lack of activity going on from too much idiot box time, too much computer time. We've got, kids that are fat, overweight, and it affects their self-esteem and everything, but a lot of that is fostered by the parent. What have you found in your research?
Let's go with three things here.
All right.
First is April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, so people should get on the stick and try to help these kids because they can, which means the laws are in place, have the authorities do what they're supposed to do, and if the authorities aren't willing to man up or the politicians aren't, then let them at least admit that. Second of all, there is a problem, and it is almost 100% on the shoulders of parents. It has nothing to do, in my humble opinion, with McDonald's. It has nothing to do with processed foods. It has nothing to do with school physical education programs. None of this stuff is where the problem is. It has nothing to do with school lunches. Michelle Obama is clearly an imbecile when it comes to this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you look at the data that the government gathered on the school nutrition lunch program, and the data is gathered in something called the School Nutrition Dietary Assessment, the problem with school nutrition is that they didn't serve enough calories. It's impossible to get big and fat when you don't eat enough calories. So all this stuff is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
These are all matters of calories in versus calories out. There's nothing else that matters, whether you get your calorie from a McDonald's, whether you get it from a Burger King, when you get it from an organic, boneless, skinless, free-range chicken breast. It makes no difference. Calorie is a calorie. So these things are all distractions to the conversation. And in fact, from my perspective, people who are serious about losing weight actually have an advantage if they eat processed and or fast foods. Because those foods, like take a McDonald's, you know, a quarter pound, a Big Mac, quarter pounder anywhere is going to be 535 calories.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to cut back one quarter of that, about 145 calories, all you have to do is divide the burger into four and get rid of a quarter of it, and you've cut back on your caloric intake. You can do much better in terms of precision with these highly quality controlled food service outlets than you can in your own kitchen. So there are ways to do this when people want to do it, if they want to do it. But the bottom line for children is that very few of them have discretionary income to go and buy calories with. And if they do eat too many calories in one place, then the parents can cut back on the calories they serve their kids in another place. And it is all, in my opinion, the responsibility of the parents, because the kids just don't have the means to overfeed themselves calories in most cases.
And we're talking to the fitness doctor, Dr. Michael Applebaum, and more of your phone calls and more from Dr. Applebaum when we return on Across America. We'll be back right after this. Don't you dare go. And it's 23 past the hour. Glad to have you aboard with us on another Saturday afternoon right here on Across America with Gary Freeman. If you'd like to be on the program today, 632-6500, or 1-888-503-6500. And we've been talking, very good discussion here this afternoon with the fitness doc, Dr. Michael Applebaum. Doc, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Now, with overweight and obesity, doctor, we know that high blood pressure also plays another role, which increases the risk for preemies or premature birthing. That's another problem that why maybe fat people should not be reproducing as well and bringing their weight under control before birthing. Is that correct?
The problems are myriad. There are lots of them. So fat people should not reproduce. Parents who are concerned about raising healthy kids and parents who are concerned about having a healthy pregnancy should lose the weight before they have the kids, period, end. Whatever the specific problem is, it really makes no difference because there are a lot of problems associated with it. So we can just keep picking one or the other.
Sure.
But there are many, many, many things to be concerned about.
And we got a caller on the line. If you'll shut your radio down in the background there, what's your question for Dr. Michael Applebaum? Hello. Turn your radio down. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you turn your radio down back there? If you have a question for Dr. Applebaum, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think the doctor needs to mind his own business about who's fat and who's not.
Why is that?
Well, he's talking about putting people in jail for it, right?
No, he's talking about child abuse. Well, doctor, I'll go ahead and let you defend your statement.
There's nothing to defend. Those are the laws of your state, and if people aren't doing their mandated by law responsibilities, then they should suffer the consequences, period, end. The laws are on the books. If you don't like the laws, you talk to your legislators.
Well, why would you want to be so radical? I mean, what do you
care? These are laws on the books. These are laws that have been passed by you as the individual who votes people into office.
Why do you have something against somebody being overweight?
It is not a matter of having anything for or against people who are overweight, underweight, or normal weight. These are the laws on your books. This is nutritional child abuse. Nutritional child abuse is the most common form of child abuse of which we are aware. 35 times more common than all other forms of child abuse.
You're advocating
combined.
That the government raise the children and not the parents. That's, I think, what you're
advocating.
You're
absolutely incorrect, sir. But these are the laws on the books. And when parents aren't doing their responsibilities, then the backstop is supposed to be mandatory reporters, and the backstop is the law that your legislature passed.
So it looks like what the doctor's saying. And sir, what's your first name, sir? Oh, he hung up. Well, I mean, really, you know, if I think maybe he might have missed the point to some degree.
If it weren't food, if it were people putting cigarettes out in kids' eyeballs,
that's right.
They think differently. If it were beating kids up so they have busted bones, it would be different. If we were shooting kids in the ear with a gun, it would be a different thing. But the fact of the matter is, it is still child abuse according to your state's definition. And in fact, people should not be doing that to their kids.
632-6500, you're back on with Dr. Applebaum.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, can you turn your radio down back there?
Yeah, got it. I'm in the car.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Well, first off, the last caller, I kind of agree with him. This is a job for the parents. So instead of trying to throw people into prison, because we've got too many laws on the books that want to hurt parents already, how about we start maybe thinking about classes to help parents learn what they need to do? And also, I think the doctor has a psychological problem because I can hear the hate and contempt in his voice for anyone that's overweight.
Dr. Applebaum, you want to respond to that? Thanks for your call, caller. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, absolutely. The only reason that there are child abuse and neglect laws is so that they can be used when the primary guardians, which generally are the parents, but sometimes are not, fail at their responsibilities. That is why they're there, for the parents, to protect the kids from them, for protecting the kids against guardians. So you can't decouple that. That is the purpose behind them. And as far as this psychological evaluation of people who speak on the radio, I really don't care to comment.
No, that's fine. You know, and you know, Doc, you do have a point, though. I mean, you know, there's certain things I think society has marked as child abuse and other things they've kind of turned a blind eye to. But I think what you're saying is that it's all forms of child abuse, and you're bringing out the point that there's laws on the books that child abuse is child abuse, and if you fit certain bill, whether you're a minister, a doctor, a therapist, a lawyer, whatever the case, that they have a responsibility to make that known to someone that there is abuse going on, even if it's nutritional as well.
Well, clearly, you know, at least from the last two callers, the stuff that's crawling out of the woodwork and calling in are the kinds of things that actually want to hurt kids. They don't want to help them. And clearly that's the case. They want free rein for parents or guardians to be able to harm children. There's something wrong with that.
We've been listening to the fitness doctor, Dr. Michael Applebaum. Sir, we're glad that you're on Across America today. Do you have a website or a book or anything out there if people want to visit with you out there on that?
If people are interested in learning more, they can go to fitnessmed.com, drapplebaum.com, or stopnutritionalchildabuse.org.
Very good. Dr. Applebaum, thanks for being on Across America today and taking part of your Saturday out to educate us on these very important matters. Have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you. Same to you and your listeners.
Thank you.